Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Salon Talks. I am Mary Elizabeth Williams. The latest and last season of House of Cards is upon us, and I've seen the first 5 episodes. It is shaping up to be the most surprising, the most suspenseful, the wildest yet, which is saying a lot because the bar is set very high. So here with me today, you can't do House of Cards without Michael Kelly. He is a 3-time Emmy Award nominated actor for his performance as Doug Stamper in House of Cards. He has also just won another award at the Newport Film Festival for the new movie All Square, which you can watch on demand. We're going to talk about that too. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so, yeah, like I said, my mind is kind of blown. I'm just still piecing it back together. I know we can't spoil the season, but I think we can talk a little about the way it ended last season with Claire saying, my turn. Mm. And now, imagine an America with a woman in the White House. What that would look like. It's kind of brutal and ugly, actually, right? It's really...
And I've imagined that a lot
it's for the last couple years. It's really intense. So talk a little bit about where Doug is emotionally in this little time. We have a little time leap.
I think the best... Yeah, we're 100 days into our first term, and I think the best way to describe him is lost. I think for the first time you see a character who's always had something with a gravitational pull that drove him with his job and the man he served, and now they're both gone and he's completely lost, and you see him quickly, you know, trying to figure out what the next move is and where he fits into this new world. So lost is probably the best way to describe him.
Yeah, and other people around him trying to figure him out now as well, because he's become quite a cipher.
Yeah, and you know, when you left us at the end of 5, he had just taken the fall for, spoiler alert for those of you who haven't watched, for the murder of Zoe Barnes. And what he was promised going into that, and knowing that those promises might not be fulfilled, and how to move forward. So yeah, it just leaves him just with a lot of people after him, so to speak.
It's exciting, though,
right?
It's exciting when someone is suddenly has no choices or all the choices in the world.
Yeah.
It's a little... So this is kind of not the way it was originally going to be for the show, behind the scenes, as well as both House of Cards and House of Cards the show have taken some unexpected turns. Take me back, because I've heard you talk about this before, and I've heard Robin Wright talk about this. It really, for a moment, looked like the show might not go forward at all.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was going to. We had the hiatus when the news broke, and one of the first calls I made was to Robin, and I said, first of all, how are you? And, you know, we chatted for a minute, and then I was like, we can't not do this. And she's like, no, we have to do this, and I'm already on it. And she sounded more like Doug Stamper at that moment than I did. And she was like, and so we, you know, collectively, with Robin driving the train, you know, talking with Frank and Melissa and Netflix and MRC, and everyone agreed, yes, it was the right thing to do to continue. It very quickly became how.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And that was on the writers, you know, and they'd already had all 13 episodes storyboarded. I think 8 of them, if I'm not mistaken, roughly 8 of them were written. We were in the process of filming the first 2. I was done with my first 2 episodes. And so it was how to get back on that train and drive it to the finish line. And Robin was the leader, man. She stepped up and brought us all together, made it happen. And then when we got on set, she was again the driving force, you know. She was, everyone rallied behind her. She's very easy to get behind. And not even in a Claire Underwood way, just in a Robin way. Like, yeah. You want to be on the Robin train.
And you said she's not just an unbelievable performer, but she is an actor's director.
Yeah. So you, I often go back and cite the example of, I was doing a scene with Rachel Brosnahan where I was having her read to me in the car. And Robin was in a tent like 20 yards away, and you could hear her scream action and cut. And at one point she started to scream some direction from the tent, and then she was like, hang on. And she ran over in her jeans and leather jacket and her Converse, and she jumped in the car, and she got in the back seat, and she was like, oh my God, I'm loving this. Okay, this is so good. So maybe if you do this and then you do that. And it was just how excited she was as a director. And the things that she says, the little, she's incredible at giving you one little nugget, one little sentence sometimes that says so much more than that one little sentence. If that makes sense, it translates in your head to like, oh my God, it opens up the scene in so many different ways. She's just insightful in that way of how to work with an actor.
That's when somebody gives you that little bit and they know what you're going to do with it, right? Mm. It's passing you the ball and knowing that you know how to run with it,
yeah,
it sounds like.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, as an actor, as you're working on a scene and going over it, it takes me forever to memorize. So as I'm going over it, you sort of fall into how you think the scene should be played. And sometimes someone just cracking it open a little bit for you and saying, think outside that box again, like you did when you first approached it. You're like, oh, right, of course, I was locked in over here. And then you go check out that side, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's interesting too.
So yeah. I want to ask you about that, because you went into this season a year or so ago with a very different vision for your character, with a different trajectory for him, with a different story for him, with a different, I'm imagining, fate for him than what has changed for him. And I know you are very meticulous about this character. You get inside Red, how you think in his thoughts when you're on the drive back and forth to set, and now you had to kind of rethink his circumstances. He got hit with this really dramatic change, and I'm wondering what was it like for you now approaching him?
I always getting into his head is the same thought process for me. You know, the apartment that I keep there, very minimal. Everything is very simple. But I've always been able to, or at least I've always tried my best to adapt to the scenarios that I'm given as a character. Like, every year, those writers give me something that terrifies the shit out of me and excites the shit out of me. You know, like, you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to do this. And it's like, how do you wrap your head around that? So this season, it was just a little bit more of that with a little bit less notice. So it was like, how do you hit that curveball coming in after you've been hitting a fastball for a while? Oh, okay, let me wrap my head around that quicker, is what it became.
Because you've gone through some changes. Yes. Your character has gone through some serious changes, some life or death changes, and in the same moment, in the outside world, we've been going through some changes the last several years. Mm-hmm. The world and the country are in a very different place than when this show started. You studied political science in college.
I did.
You're kind of I've seen your Twitter feed, you're kind of a politics junkie.
Somewhat political.
Right? So I'm wondering how, over the course of this past several years, how do you feel, has the show changed your politics, changed your understanding of the process? Do you feel that the politics have changed the show?
No. Yes, I've always been very into politics, but the show definitely made me a little more involved, because what it did was it gave me a platform. And, you know, so many people say to me on Twitter, you know, you're an actor, why don't you stick to acting? And it's like, I back it up. I'm not just saying that I disagree with policy just to say I disagree with the president. I go and I lobby on the Hill for seniors. I meet with Republicans and Democrats, and I sit down and I talk about bipartisan issues that we can come together on. Like, that's, for me, I wish we had someone who was bringing us more together. I think we're at a time right now where we are so divided as a country, where it's like, you can't even, if we all just listened a little better, you know, if we listened to one another, I think we'd be a lot further. But we have someone who is literally driving us apart right now. And it's sad to me. And so I do what I can to try and, you know, I don't call names. Maybe every now and then I'll slip and call someone a name, but I try not to call names. It's something my mom always said to me. She's like, you can disagree with anyone and you can say whatever you want, but don't call names. And it makes a lot of sense, you know? So I did get more involved politically and I want to stay involved politically and maybe one day run for some office. I don't know.
I think you know, I understand there's a precedent now of people who've been on TV shows running for political office.
I don't want to be president. I think that, you know, to be president, you should. The reason that there was an unwritten rule prior to this election of having to either have been in the military or served some sort of public office, it was an unwritten rule for a reason, and we are seeing evidence of that now. So I don't want to jump into presidency, but I think that if I could make the world a better place, I should try to make the world a better place. But I'm not done acting yet. So.
Okay, yeah, no,
and I think my wife would kill me on top of it.
Because maybe your wife doesn't want to get the kind of feedback on Twitter that Claire is getting at the beginning of this season.
Right, I mean, you know, you're under... And that's an interesting thing that we jump into this show, and it's not that much of a spoiler. It's in the first episode, but...
It's in the first scene.
That what a woman goes through compared to a man, and it's not right and it's not fair. Yes, it's a television show, but we know this from everyday life, that women just, for whatever reason, we were joking before, and I said that women take longer to process things before they say something, that they think things through, where men are impulsive and jump. And you said something incredibly insightful. You said that's because if we say the wrong thing, people are much quicker to jump on it. And I had not thought of that before, but it makes total sense. And what you see with Claire as president is that she doesn't even have to say anything, that people are jumping right away to make a conclusion.
Well, you're welcome, Michael. That was your
I'm going to take that
tutorial
that nugget with me.
Pass it on.
Okay, please pass it on.
Yeah, pass it on. Tell your friends. Tell the men in your life.
That's so good.
that's what it's like for us out there. Absolutely. So this is not the only thing that you're working on, though. So you've got your political future.
Mm-hmm.
We've already established that for you. I'm really excited about that. But before that, you've got a couple of other things going on. You've jumped right into your next job.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I didn't do the first season, but I've jumped on for the second season of Jack Ryan, which I'm having the time of my life. John Krasinski has to be one of the greatest people I've ever worked with. Just kind, generous, smart as hell, hysterical, and a damn fine actor. So we're having a blast. We were in Columbia, South America for about almost 3 months, and now we're back here in New York, which feels very good after being, not that I didn't love it, but I was very, very ready to come home as a non-Spanish speaking person.
And you got to turn into a family vacation too.
I did. My family came for a whole month. My children got to experience that, and that was incredible. By the time we left, they were ordering breakfast in Spanish, and it was really cool. So we're having a lot of fun, and that'll wrap up early December. I'll be done with Jack Ryan's second season.
And I heard it's so far it's just one season that you're committed
right.
for.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, and then we'll see.
And then we'll see.
And then we'll see where we go from there. But you also are in this movie, this little movie that is just a throwback. It's a really different kind of character. Well, it's different, but he's also flawed.
Sure.
He's also morally ambiguous. You get to play off Pam Adlin and some other amazing people.
How
did this come about?
Well, this is one of those, you know, project of love or whatever you want to call it. My friend, one of my dear friends, Tim Brady, wrote it, sent me the script, and said, when you have a chance, I really want you to read this. It's something I'm proud of. And I said, I will. But I was in the middle of House of Cards. I was like, I'm so overwhelmed. But I finally set aside time. I read it, and I didn't even finish the last page before I was picking up my phone, like, dialing him. I'm like, dude, this is so good. Let's make this movie. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah.
But I heard you were maybe not going to be the star.
Well, yeah, he didn't offer it to me.
I want to be very, very clear about that. Why you weren't.
He sent it to me for feedback, and I said, I want to make this movie. And he said, well, John wants to make it too. Our other friend, John Himes, is a director. And I said, well, you know, I know you haven't offered me the role, but I'd really like to, let's see if we can make this movie. And he's like, oh, all right, cool. And so he had raised half the money. And I had met Yardley Smith, Lisa Simpson, the voice of Lisa Simpson, and her producing partner, Ben Cornwall, at a Netflix, Ted Sarandos honored evening thing. And they said, we have this pilot, we'd love to attach you. And I was like, I'm in the middle of House of Cards, I can't do a pilot. And they said, well, we want to work together one day, here's our card, we want to work with people we like. And I was like, cool. And this was like a year and a half. And I emailed her out of the blue and I said, hey, I have this script. If anything, I'd love your feedback. And then like 2 days later, she said, can we get on a conference call? We want to make this movie. And I was like, what? Yeah. And she's like, well, I said, we have half the funding. And she's like, we're in for the other half. And then I gave it to Lorenzo, our sound guy on House of Cards. And he was like, oh my God, dude, I love this. If you shoot it in Baltimore, I'm in. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. And very quickly, a lot of the other House of Cards crew members were like, I'm in. And I was able to take some of them and bump them up a position. Like, Tiffany is our set designer, and we made her the production designer. And just take people and, you know, give them opportunities that they hadn't had before. And also, some people even took steps back for me as a favor. You know, it was a real family. It was a real family unit that we brought together for this. And then the casting was almost all my friends. I didn't know Harris Yulin, and I didn't know the young kid. Everybody else. was all friends of mine. So we were able to do it. We shot in 18 days and
just
I'm
a fun
so
summer
proud.
Project.
Yeah, I'm just so proud of it. It's a really fun, funny movie, and we won an audience award at South by Southwest, and then the other one. It's been a fun ride.
It's
been a really
so
fun ride.
You're kind of the Walter Matthau.
Yeah. He is.
The poster. The
yeah,
whole,
that was our nod. We even put Chico's bail bonds in the fence.
Do you think anyone but you and I know who Walter Matthau was or what the Bad News Bears
Probably
was?
Probably the kids watching Facebook Live don't know. But,
right.
If you haven't seen Bad News Bears, you should really watch it. It's really
it's
good.
It's a great movie that, you know, I just feel like underage drinking isn't celebrated enough anymore.
See,
our
kids would love it. It's really good.
I mean, now with their jewels, then their
right.
vapes, they don't even...
They don't know.
They don't
know what they're missing out
they
on.
They don't even know what it is. And so what else are you doing? You've got that, you've got this, and then is it... Are you going to be doing more stuff behind the scenes?
I think I definitely want to continue producing. I really enjoyed that. I was going to direct this season on House of Cards, but when we went from... I was hired to direct, and we went from 13 down to 8. I did not. I was one of the ones that lost the spot. Totally fine.
I was gonna say, you said who made the cut and who didn't?
I think more gals made it than guys. Which, like I said to you before, I was 100% fine. I was even fine with not directing. I was just like, okay, you know, it was a little bit honestly, with the way everything happened and how fast it all happened, I was somewhat relieved to take that burden off my shoulders because I had not directed before and I felt very confident and comfortable directing, but having to wrap my head around what was going to happen for me this season, I felt I would be doing him a disservice if I, once we went down 8, I'd be like, it would have been too much, I think, for me. So I was grateful to take a step back. But producing is something, I like bringing people together. You know, I think there's something about it. You feel when you produce something, the feeling that I had when I was done, I was like, wow, we did this. We all made this thing together, and that feeling is incredible.
And that's something that has, as you point out, kind of traditionally gone to the men in
yeah.
the business. Certainly, I mean, not just in your business, but so many of them. And we were talking beforehand about that. The needle seems to be moving so dramatically, and so hopefully in one direction, and then you look in another direction in our culture, and it's
it's a garbage fire, right?
Yeah.
So what gives you hope? You have two kids. What do you tell your kids in terms of where we are? What's giving you hope for progress and change?
I think, you know, in life, for big change to happen, sometimes you gotta take a step backwards before you take a step forward. And I think right now we're taking many steps backwards, but it's inspiring people. It's what you saw in this last election was one of the lowest turnouts for an election ever. In my opinion, it's your right and it's your duty to vote. Like, you need to be a part of the system. And I think what it's done is it's inspired people to be a part of the system. And I encourage people, you know, my family's in Georgia, and right now there's a big election in Georgia with Abrams and Kemp. And I emailed my whole family yesterday, and I said, I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm not doing anything other than saying this is an election that goes beyond your state. This is an... Yes, it's for representatives of your state, but this goes nationwide. And if anything, all I ask is that you read, go to both candidates' websites, read about the candidates, read about the issues, and whoever you identify with the most, vote for them. Don't listen to attack ads. Don't listen to propaganda television. And I'm not saying that that's such a bad thing to say because now I sound like Trump, but there is television out there that is giving the wrong messages, that is very one-sided on both sides. Just read about the candidates. Read who you identify with. That's how people should be voting. It's not what you hear, what you read on Twitter. It's go listen to what they say about themselves. Not what they're saying about the other side, but what they say about themselves. And then make up your own mind. And I put both of their websites in the email, and I said, and I you know, I don't want to get political with my family, but just do it.
See,
get
that's
out there
some
and vote.
Good common ground making. But like that's some good bipartisan.
But that's
practices.
What we need. We
that
need
is.
To come together. We've never been more divided. We need to come together as a country right now. We don't have a leader who's telling us to come together. We have a leader who's dividing us right now. I don't care what your political views are. Bring us together as a country. That's the most important thing anyone can do right now, because we've never been so divided. Not in our adult lifetime. Obviously, Civil War. We're more
divided. Yeah,
brothers shooting brothers.
That's a little intense. But Michael, wouldn't it be great if everybody did what you did and emailed their families and just said, just learn a little bit about the candidates, mm-hmm. and then make up your own minds, but please be part of the process and please participate. Yeah. Okay, so before you go, mm-hmm. I want to ask you one more thing, because I'm obsessed with spoilers. I have very strong feelings about them. Your entire, like, you must have people coming up to you all the time saying, I'm just getting into House of Cards, I'm in the first season, please don't ruin it for me. Like, is there an expiration date on spoilers for you? Like, do you just kind of go like, come on guys, Rosebud's a sled, get over it. Like, what is your policy on spoilers? Are you a skip to the end kind of a guy yourself?
I remember something had happened and I tweeted something one season after, and somebody said, yo dude, spoilers. And I was like, all right, well, you're a season, and I was like, you're a season, on one hand I was like, you're a season behind, on the other hand I was like, all right, you're right, I'll delete my tweet. And I deleted it. And since then, I've always just been like, you know what, if I ever say something, I'll say, where are you? You know, but if for a general audience, like if I'm doing an interview, I am not assuming, I'm hoping that you're caught up, because I have to talk about something, and I can't talk about this season, so I'm going to talk about the five that happened before.
You have five whole seasons.
And if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry if I spoiled something. I apologize to you right now.
And then just watch him, and then you don't have to, he doesn't have to apologize for you anything.
Catch up.
Michael,
make my job a lot easier.
Thank you so much for joining us. The new season of House of Cards, please watch it. Also, watch All Square. It is delightful and charming and,
so
and just fun. Just fun. It has, I believe, a 100% fresh rating
on
Rotten Tomatoes. Thank you, Michael, for joining us. If you like what you see here, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook. You never want to miss fun like this.
Thank you. Thank you very much.